Good morning. How are you guys doing? Yes, you sound like already like Man City supporters, eh? Lost and everything. Okay. Are you all well? So lucky to be with you this morning. And just that last notice that went out, I really want to encourage you. We're not going to keep you long, but I think it's important that we pray together. I think it's important that we just stand together. So even the people that aren't here, we'll put it out on all the pages and everything. But I want to encourage you, come and join us on Wednesday. We'll make sure the parking is safe. We'll make sure that everyone is together here. But I just feel that we need to come together and pray. Not out of fear, not out of anything. Because our God is already victorious. Amen. So we don't pray from a point of, Lord, please come and help us. Because God says that He is already in control. We just want to say, Lord, bring your peace. Do what only you can do. And I think it's important that where two or three are gathered in His name, when we ask it, God says it will be. So let's just get together. Let's come and pray. Encourage the people that aren't here and you that are here. Let's come and pray. We won't keep you long. 7 to 8. Just come together and pray. So I really would love to see you here. And let's just come and do it together. Okay. So this morning, we finished our series on the four faces. And I finished off with the ox last week. And one of the things that I actually was one of the points is that a servant perseveres. And as I said that, it's just something in the week that I was thinking of. And I thought, you know what, there's something here. I really want to just have a look at that phrase. And there's something I would love to share is to persevere. So I'm going to talk on one of my passions is long distance running. Why are you laughing? Don't I look like a long-distance runner? Thank you for all of those who are laughing, because you are quite right. I do not run. The Bible says only a fool runs when, hey, I'm joking to all those joggers, yeah. We're getting closer to June, hey. It's actually quite crazy to think of it. It's the middle of the year. It also means winter is upon us. That's the one thing I don't like, but Vas assured me we got heaters, so we will be warm in here, don't worry. But you know what, even just speaking to some people and just listening to people's conversations, it is very interesting that when we come even only to the middle of the year, people get tired, eh? People get weary. And you can see it when you speak to people, when you spend time with them, you can pick up very quickly, man, people's heads are down. Elections are coming up. We've got a lot of things that we are facing as a country. People over their businesses. People going through family stuff. You've got teenagers in your house. I know I've got 2 girls. Pray for me. And you go through things, all of us. And sometimes it wears us out. Sometimes it just puts us in a place where, yes, you also don't want to carry on for much longer. And I hope this morning we can all encourage each other to persevere. To run our race. We are not called to stop for too long. And it's okay if you pause. It's okay, because you know what? It brings things in perspective. It's okay to take a moment. But I want to encourage you this morning, don't stay there. The scripture is very clear in Psalm 23. It says, when we go through the valley. It doesn't say that we camp in the valley, we stay in the valley, we build the Baldwin properties in the valley, we have everything in the valley. It says when you go through that valley, in other words, you will go through a valley. But I want to encourage you this morning, don't stay in that valley. Go through it. And it's going to cost sometimes me and you to take someone by the hand and say, man, you know what? I'm not going to let you stay there. I'm not going to let you be in that position. I want to be a Timothy for a Paul that says, man, I want to encourage you. I want to help you. I want to pick you up. And Hope City, that is my prayer for us, is that we will be people that will help others, that will encourage others, that we will be Barnabases for people, that we will be sons of encouragement. That we will be those people that when they look at us, they say, man, just looking at you is giving me like something to carry on. And this morning, if you are not feeling like that, I really pray and I trust that when we leave here, that you will walk out here saying, Lord, I want to persevere. I don't always know how. I don't understand this, but I know this, that your spirit is living inside of me. And I want to encourage you together. We even at the end, we're going to take communion. And in that moment, I just pray that God will do something in our hearts, starting with me, that you and I can persevere. And friends, can I tell you this? A Sunday morning is not a moment for God to pull a magic wand out, do something, and the rest of the week you struggle to get to Sunday again. When you and I walk through these doors, you've got him inside of you. You and I walk out here knowing God has stirred something, but we carry on. We carry on. Lizzie, it's so lucky to see you. I'm glad you're out of hospital and you're feeling better. You're with us. I'm glad. Friends, so when we do this, we do it together. We walk out here and we say, Lord, whatever comes across, whatever I face, I know this. I'm by your side. I'm with you and we are doing this together. If you got your Bible, your phone, your whatever, open in Hebrews 12 for me. From verse 1. Hebrews 12 from verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance. There's that phrase. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I'm going to carry on reading. But how beautiful was it singing this morning about this beautiful Jesus, about our beautiful Savior? And the scripture says, fix your eyes on him. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such an opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If you look at the two chapters before, chapter 10 gives us a warning not to fall away, to persevere in faith. And then chapter 11, it talks about all these heroes in faith. And we'll look at just some names in there. But I love, verse 1 says, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So the picture that I get is, I mean, Olympics is around the corner. Hey, it's sometime this year. The Olympic Stadium, you get this massive stadium and everyone's sitting in the seats and they're looking on what's happening on the field. And when I look at this picture, it's you and me running the race on the field. And here you've got 80, 90, 100,000 people in the stadium looking at you. I don't know about you, but that's a bit daunting. That's like, what on earth is going on here? But can I quickly tell you this? When I read the scripture and when I looked at some commentaries, it is true, they are looking at us running our race. But I've got a bit of a different view on this. It is actually me and you standing on that track field that we're going to go around 10, 20, 30 times for who knows why, just running in a circle. But when you and I stand at that starting line, we're actually looking at the stadium and we go, wow, look at all these people around me. And the scripture says that these are the men and women that finished their race. So you and I actually looking at them and saying, wow, is that Moses standing there? Yes, it is. Is that Paul out there? Is that Enoch there? Is that Elijah there? These are the men that finished their race. And I'm looking at that and I say, Lord, help me to run my race like them. Help me to finish strong the way that they finished the race. And this is my prayer for every single one of us. I would love to get to the end of my life where my daughters can say, I want to run my race like mom and dad. I would love for the young people in Hope City to look at us older people and say, man, I want to run my race like Terry. I want to run my race like Albert. I want to run my race like Vas. Because they look at us and they say, you know what? I see something in their lives. Because when they went through those things, they persevered. And my encouragement is that you and I will live our lives in such a way that when people look at us, they say, man, I want to run my race like that. I want to persevere. I want to do it like them. They are in God's presence, man. Why would they worry about looking at me and you? They're in his presence. And I'm saying, Lord, I want to finish my race strong. Like Paul says, I've ran my race. I finished the course. I want to get there, but I want to get there. Let people say, man, I want to run my race like that. I want to live my life like that. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. Those are the guys that's in the stadium looking at us. Okay, so I said, one of my passions, long distance running, eh? Definitely. Have you seen those Okies? Who of you do like to run? Okay, there's some of you, and I can see by your build that you're long distance runners. Have you seen those Okies? Have you seen those Kenyan runners? No disrespect, really. They're amazing. But have you seen them? They weigh as much as my one leg. That whole person is this leg, yeah. That's how much they weigh. That's what they look like. But you know what? They are built and they are doing that with no baggage. But can we just talk about the shorts that they run in? I think that's my problem. That's the issue. I would jog if I didn't have to wear those funny shorts. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. You know what? Those athletes don't carry any weight. I mean, they are lean, fit machines. They are just doing this, and they can run that race. I mean, some of them look like they're doing a 100-meter sprint by the way they do it, because they're not carrying. I don't know. I've never seen anybody doing a Comrades Marathon with a 50-liter backpack on his back. I've never seen that. Because you don't do it. They don't carry that weight. They don't carry that baggage. So when the scripture says, lay off everything that hinders us, it's twofold. So it comes and it says that you place down, but the second part is you push it away. So when scripture says, lay down everything that hinders us, it's twofold. Lay it down, but you push it away. But here's the thing. You and I, so many times, we lay it down where? Right here, because I want to see it. I want to know it's there, so that when I go, I can take it with me. And that's the problem, friends. We come, we encounter God, we have an amazing time of worship. God highlights things in our life and he says, hey man, these are these things, look at that. And you go, Lord, I hear you, I'm putting it down. But when I walk out that door, I can't leave it here, because somebody must pick it up, so I'll rather take it with me. That worry, that stress, that things we go through, I'll rather take it with me. Because you know what? No, it's mine. Friends, you don't run with a backpack on your shoulders. Have you seen those great one little kiddies? This big, and their bag is 10 times bigger than them. They actually walk like this. The poor Oki, there's like 50 books in there. His mom packed him a lunch that will last him a week. A water bottle this big. And the poor Oki is just that high. Friends, that's you and I in the spirit sometimes. We walk like we're carrying the whole world on our back. And when I look at scriptures, Jesus says that you will carry my yoke, you'll carry my burden, but it's easy and it's light. In other words, it's just resting on your shoulders like this. It's not crushing you down. You just feel it there, that awareness of it, not a crushing, not a pressing. This morning, when you have something pressing and crushing, I want to encourage you, lay it down and push it away. Lay it down and push it away. It says there, throw off everything that hinders us. I don't have to be a very deep theologian to understand what everything is. Everything is everything. See, even you got it. It's easy. The Greek word for everything is everything. Everything. The writer of Hebrews says, lay off everything that hinders us. Friends, I tell you, and I want to encourage you this morning, man, when God highlights these things, even as we're talking now, even as we were in a time of worship, there's things in our life that we know, man, it's holding us back. You know, when they do some gym exercises, they've got this big rubber band that somebody either ties down or they hold you and you run. It's a specific exercise for strength. But you know what? We do that in our lives as well. We run and we've got this resistant band holding us back. This morning, I trust that we can cut that resistant band, that you can run, that you can go for what God has called us to do. Lay down everything, everything. That baggage, like I said, you're not going to run a Comrades with a 50-liter bag. You're not going to do it. Lay it down. How many times do we carry like this? You know, have you seen those gym bunnies? They don't have like a little bottle of water. They don't carry this. They got like a 5-liter jug with them. It's probably to like bulk their bicep up while they carry the water. It's amazing that you and I want to carry all these things. And Jesus says, but you've got the living water inside of you. We've got it. You don't have to carry all this baggage in our lives. How many of you have worked on construction or have been or are currently in construction? Anybody? You wear safety boots. Have you ever worn safety boots? Who is? Come on, somebody has been. Those things got steel-toed tips in the front. It's the most uncomfortable shoe in the world. It's horrible. It's really not lekker. I did it for 10 years when I went to the sites. The first thing I do as I climb, I wear out and I put my slops on immediately because those things are heavy. They're really not. But you know what? It's safe because it's got a purpose. And how many of us want to put safety boots on? How many of us want to make our own plans so that we can be safe? Jesus says, I'm your shield. I'm your protector. I'm your provider. But we want to hold on to these things. Maybe this morning you got to kick off your safety boots and put on the sandals, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning you and I got to lay some things off so that we can do what God has called us to do. Here's a couple of things that I just feel are hindrances we got to lay off. And there's plenty more. And I hope God highlights. But the first one is unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations. And you know what? Even when I'm writing this, I think this is for young people. No, it's for every single one of us. Because sometimes we want to compare. Sometimes we look at other businesses. Sometimes we look at other marriages. Sometimes we look at other family members. Sometimes we look and I go, oh, if only I can play guitar like Vice. If only, yes, like it. This chickie sang me into heaven this morning. If only I can sing like this. If only I could, no, I don't want to dance. No, I don't want to go down that road. If only I can bry like DJ. If only I can, and we compare. We start saying, yes, but my business is not there. Ooh, our church is not there. Ooh, that's not there. Friends, I want to tell you this morning, and let this set you free. God has not called you to run anybody else's race. God has called you to run your race. Stop comparing yourself. We have Galatians 5:25 in the Message says this. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. And here's the sentence. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better or another is worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. You know what? You're an original. There's no one that's got a fingerprint like yours. There's no one that's got your look, your features, and who you are. You're uniquely made. Please stop comparing yourselves with others. It's going to put a thing on you that you can't run your race because you're running someone else's race. Lay it down. Number two, fear and anxiety. This is a very interesting one. And I think in a time that we live, I think the enemy wants to cripple us with fear. He wants to bring things in our life and he wants to halt us and stop us to running our race by giving fear. Fear cripples us. Fear steals our joy. It destroys our ability to do things. Fear stops us to even think rationally. It makes us overlook God's truths and promises. Proverbs 12 verse 25 says, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Fear will cause you to never even leave the starting blocks. You will want to stay on the floor and never get up. That's what fear does to me and you. It pushes us down and it leaves us there. Isaiah 43 verse 1, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. I told my story a couple of times, and if I do repeat myself, just forgive me. I landed up with COVID in the hospital. And I tell you what, it crippled me with fear. And a testimony of this is I had people praying for me that I could get out there and be here today. But 2005, Laura went out and she went to feed some people in the church in Pinetown that we were part of. And as she did that, somebody else came and visited me, an uninvited guest, with a brick and a screwdriver. And Laura drove, so I knew he's not here to fix the car. And the house was already built, so I knew he was not there to put bricks and build a house. I knew he was there for a completely different purpose. And it landed up that the two of us had a lack of fight. He threw the brick in my face and he stabbed me in the neck with a screwdriver. Thank God I've got such a thick neck, so I survived it. But you know what? I was gripped with fear. I was gripped with fear. There was about 3 months that I couldn't sleep. If I hear a noise, I was up and I was like, baseball bat. I don't know what I'm going to do with this baseball bat, but I'm ready to do anything. And I remember the one morning even, yes, like it, Laura went to work and three guys walked into the back garden and I thought, this is it. This is me today. And I ran out there with a baseball bat, realizing it's the gardening service. So I almost assaulted the poor gardeners. I love the real thing, friends. But even that, it clouds your judgment. It clouds everything. I want to tell you, it's a real thing, friends. When you're in a position where fear has gripped your heart, it almost numbs you of thinking of tomorrow. It numbs you. And I had to get to that place where I just said, Lord, I can't function like this. I can't do this. What? How? And I was just reminded about this scripture, 1 John 4:18. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And I'm saying, Lord, this is not how it works. We fire with fire, baseball bat against the head, fivefold ministry. That's what I'm looking at. I'm like Spartan 300. I want a bow and arrow. I want to do something violent here. Not love, hug, kiss, squeeze. That's not what I want to do. But I just felt God says, just come and sit at my feet. And friends, when I did that, God just lavished his love on me. And I tell you, it was an instant moment where I got up and I had this peace in my heart that God is fully in control. And I want to tell you, if fear has gripped your heart this morning, I pray that you can just go and sit at the feet of Jesus and let him lavish his love on you, because he loves you. He cares for you. He's there for you. And I pray that you will get to that place when you have that anxiety, when you have that fear in your life, that you can just sit at the feet of Jesus and let him just love you. Let him just lavish you with his love. And the third one, this is a very lacquer one for us, laziness. Third thing that we need to throw off is laziness. I look at some of the top athletes. You know, you read stories about their biographies and stuff. A silly one is probably one of the well-known soccer players, will be Cristiano Ronaldo. Just reading some of the stuff, this guy is like, he thinks he's old. I think he's in his 30s. He's still a spring chicken, let's face it. But everyone will tell you, before anyone arrives there, he's the first guy on the pitch, practicing. When they leave, he's the last guy there. He's got a natural talent. He's got a natural ability. He probably never have to even practice. But he made sure that laziness is kicked off and pushed away. And he pushed in to the things that he knew that he's good in. But he practiced that. And I'm going to tell you, every single one of us, man, push into the things that God is telling you. Winter is coming. I don't know about you, but when I wake up and it's still dark, the last thing I want to do is climb out my bed. I want to stay in my bed. The coffee must just come to me and land up there. I'll stay there. And then you know you got to get up, go to where your quiet place is and do it, friends. Do it. Don't be lazy. Get up. Get into those places. Yes, you get a WhatsApp from somebody going through something and you think by yourself, you know what? The last thing I want to do now is go and just listen to somebody moaning a bit. Friends, you don't know what it is if you climb in your car and you meet that person and you just love them and you're just there for them. I want to encourage you, let us not be lazy. And I'm not saying you are, okay? But I'm saying let's push into practicing godliness and doing what God has called us to do. Proverbs 19:5 says, laziness brings us in a deep sleep and the shiftless go hungry. Put your disciplines in place. Throw off laziness and run the race set out for us. Quickly going back to our scripture, it says, throw off everything that hinders us. And then it says the last part, and the sin that so easily entangles us. And the sin. So here's the thing. Those things that you and I carry, it's not talking about sin. Those are the baggage you and I pack on. But then it says, and the sin. So what is the Greek word for sin? What does it mean? Missing the mark. Sin means missing the mark. So in other words, your race is marked out for you, friends. It's marked out. It's like a trial. It's like when you go and do the park run. It's marked out. Your race before you were born is marked out for you. And what sin is, it takes you and it pushes you into a different direction of the mark that God has got for you. That's what sin does. So it says, throw off the hindrances and the sin. And what do you and I do to get back onto this mark that God has called us? It says in 1 John 1:9, if you and I confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. In other words, we go into this merciful God and we say, Lord, I'm so sorry for what I've said, for what I've done, for the actions. And God says, no problem, my son. No problem, my daughter. And He puts you back on the course that is marked out for you to run. But don't just walk and think, you know what? I've got all this. It's okay. I can do what I want to do. I want to tell you, we need to get to that place that you and I realize that He is a good Father. But we can't just keep on doing things wrong. We got to get to a place. I know, I've got two girls. If they mess things up, they are in my house. I'm not going to now put them in the garage and say, you know what, slop dozzle. Sometimes I want to do it. I'm not going to, but I won't do it. But if they come to me and they're like, I'm so sorry. It's like, you know what, let's get back on course. Let's come back on what God has called us to do. If you've got things in your life, friends, things that's highlighted in your life, what do? Confess. Lay it at His feet, and God just puts you back on course. Run your race with perseverance. The word perseverance is continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficult failure or opposition. Continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. How many of you remember the movie Forrest Gump? What did he say? Run. Forrest, run. And what did Forrest do? He ran. This morning, Hope City, run. Run. Run with perseverance. Don't stop, even for that box of chocolates. Don't stop. Okay, if you haven't watched the movie, you can go watch it later. Run. This morning, I want to encourage you, man. Throw off those things. Lay it aside. Push it to a side. Run this race with perseverance. Run this race with perseverance. When God looked at Adam, He said, it's not good for man to be alone. He gave him a helper. It's funny that He never looked at Eve and go, yeah, you need more help. He looked at Adam and go, Adam, but you need help. You need lots of help. I'm giving you a helper. You know what? When Jesus sent out His disciples in the New Testament, when you read in the Gospels, He sent them out two by two, never alone. Paul goes, in 1 Corinthians 4:17, for this reason I've sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Jesus Christ, which agrees with what I teach in every church. Paul sends Timothy to go and help. I want to encourage you this morning, get a Timothy or be a Timothy. Get a Timothy or be a Timothy, that you and I don't run this race alone. As Jesus sent them out two by two, make sure that you and I have friends, that we have support, that we have people that run this race with us, that when you're down, they pick you up. They mean, I'm there for you. I'm encouraging you. When we go up this hill, I'll push you up this hill or I'll drag you up, but you're not doing this alone. And I want to encourage you that we will be that church, that when people walk in here with their heads down, that we will lift their heads up for them and say, man, you are not alone in this race. We want to encourage you. We want to be there for you. Why is it so important to be in a life group? To just say we're in a life group? No, it's so that you know there's people with you, that when you're down, when you're going through these things, you can say, man, you know what, guys, I want to tell you in all honesty, I'm struggling today. I'm so glad you said that. Come to me. Let us help you. Let us pray for you. Let us intercede for you. Let us be there for you. Let us be a Timothy for you to support and to help you. That is what we need, friends, is so that you and I understand this morning, we are not running this race alone. And then the last of that scripture says, how do we run this race? We fix our eyes on Jesus. We fix our eyes on Jesus. Three quick points. How do we do that? Develop a constant prayer life. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always, pray continually. Pray continually. You don't just pray when the pawpaw hit the fan.
You don't just pray when you're in need. You don't just pray. Friends, when it goes very well, you pray. When things are going in ignited, you pray. You don't just pray on a Sunday morning when we get together here. We don't just pray on a Wednesday when we have life groups. We pray every single day. When you get up in the morning and you haven't put makeup on, you're not going to scare him away. Okay? Because God knows what you look like. Your ins and your outs. Pray, friends. When you're in the car, put 947 off sometimes and say, Lord, I've got half an hour to get to Sandton. Should take me 10 minutes, but it's taking me an hour. You've got an hour to pray. We always say, you know what? What's the big thing? I don't have time. I'm telling you, we have time. We just got to look at those slots. And we're going to say, Lord, I've got half an hour in this car, putting it off. When you go into an important meeting, don't go in there without praying. When you're sitting with your wife and you're going through things, friends, do it on your knees. Pray together. Do it together. Pray continuously. Second one, surround yourself with like-minded believers. I touched a bit on that. Acts 2:42. How's that Afrikaans coming through? Acts. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. To fellowship. What is fellowship? Two fellows in a ship. Fellowship. Okay, that's how my Afrikaans brain understands that. But it's two of you, it's three of you, it's four of you. Man, I want to tell you, don't run this race alone. Don't be a solo runner. I read this story once. It's an American thing, because I don't think we get coyotes here. Coyotes. Coyotes. You know how what they do? They go to one dog. They go to the dog, and they play with him, but from a distance. And then what they do is they go a little bit back, but they call this dog. Till this one dog comes out of its comfort zone, and then they attack the dog. That's how the enemy comes, and he distracts you. He takes one person out, and he destroys you. But imagine if there's two or three of you, and one little enemy comes, and he wants to distract you. Two of you can say, but you've got to open your eyes here. You've got to understand what you're going in here. That business that you think you're doing is not godly. When you have that friendship and the people around you to support you, I want to tell you, it is such a great help to have people around you. That distraction is going to be taken away. Then the last thing, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you daily. Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. That word be filled, when you go read it in the context, says be being filled. Be being filled. In other words, continuously being filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to end this morning, and the band guys can come up. Run your race with perseverance. Throw off those hindrances and the sin that is dragging us down and that is taking you off course. I mentioned three things, but I know there's a lot more. But I trust that as I shared and as we worship, that you know the things that God is highlighting to you, that you can lay off and lay down. Maybe there's sin that's derailing you, taking completely off course. Come back to a loving Father. Confess. He's faithful to forgive and set you back on track. Can I ask that we stand together?